The first reading that we heard this past weekend was from the first book of Kings. And it's a story that is very commonly told. And as you'll see in my homily today, it's told in such a way that it becomes inaccurate. As a matter of fact, I called it cute. But what the story tells is a time that Elijah encountered God. Now, when I was in the seminary, we used to have this story in every retreat I had. And I finally came to the point where I said, please stop telling that story. We've heard it in every single retreat. And then when I understood the entire story, I understood how poor that served as an example, because you need to understand the whole context of the story to realize what's going on. And if you don't get that context, it comes out as this cute story where Elijah encounters God as a still small voice. But that is absolutely an inaccurate understanding. Yes, that's exactly what happened, but the context changes everything. So that was from the first reading, which you'll hear more about during my homily. And it's Elijah in the cave. And so you'll see that I give you a background of exactly what happened, tell the story, and even give you an epilogue. We're going back to the time of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And they were in Israel. They were not the nicest of people by any stretch of the imagination. And I explain that further in the homily. And in the midst of that, you have Elijah. Elijah is one of the two people who encountered Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. The other, of course, is Moses. So he was a powerful figure in the Old Testament. So let's look at what happened with Elijah. Today's reading is from the first book of Kings, and it's often portrayed as this almost cute story on recognizing the presence of God. God is in the still small wind. Isn't that cute? Problem is, the story is often portrayed that way, but it's really not all that accurate. Even here, half the story is missing. So it's almost wrong. So let's look at the whole scenario. And Elijah has just had a showdown with the prophets of Baal, of the queen of Israel of the 9th century BC. She was a Phoenician. That means she was a pagan, and she was married to a Hebrew, who was, of course, the king, Ahab. Her name was Queen Jezebel, and she's considered the most evil woman in the entire Bible. She was known to be crossed, which is what Elijah did, and worse. He cursed her, manifested the power of God, and had all her prophets of her god Baal on Mount Horeb executed. This is what Elijah just did, and this is what precedes the scene. Jezebel's incensed. She threatened his life and said he would be dead the next day. Elijah panicked and ran. And finally, he reached the point where he could not run any further, and so he stopped out of exhaustion and begged God to kill him because of his perceived cowardice. God sends him an angel to calm him down, and the angel leads him to the cave where this entire scene takes place. And that should give you a deeper understanding of this scene. And notice something else. God shows up in the still small wind. Why? Well, powerful words, as a hint, have been given to us by Pope St. Pius X. He's describing St. Charles Borromeo, and he explains how he lived during the time of the Protestant Reformation, when, like today, the church was in the midst of a great upheaval. And he writes, quote, St. Charles Borromeo checked the rampant perversion of ideas and corruption of morals by founding schools for the children and colleges for the youth. After seeing their beginnings in Rome, he promoted the Marian societies. He founded orphanages for the fatherless, shelters for girls in danger, widows and mendicants, and men and women made destitute by sickness or old age. He opened institutions to protect the poor against tyrannical masters, usurers, and the enslavement of children. He accomplished all these things by completely ignoring the methods of those who think human society can be restored only by utter destruction, revolution, and noisy slogans. Such persons have forgotten the divine words,
the Lord is not in the earthquake, unquote. Quite a relevant thought for today. God has calmed Elijah down. He does not have to do powerful miracles to show his truth. He only needs his people to act in peace, seeking wisdom, and they will create his revolution. These words struck me powerfully because there are so many people out there who are at war with our country in a sense, and they are engaged in other destruction and revolution and noisy slogans. If you look carefully at their methods, they are rooted in the philosophy that the ends justify the means. That is never true. Over and over again, that philosophy creates disaster. But Pope St. Paul X teaches that if you want to act in God's revolution, remember that these things change nothing. It is when we live the gospel and we bring out true revolutionary change. I came to an understanding of this week when I'm working on some stuff in my writing. And we need a powerful revolution in our church and in our world. But that revolution comes from the peaceful action of God. God, as I often teach, calls us to wisdom. However, so many say that the sign we are living the gospel is that we live in morality. The message of our faith is clearly that wisdom feeds our morality. When we grow in wisdom, we grow in our ability to understand when God is speaking and in what he is saying. And we grow to understand the difference between falling in fear of the thunderous sound or falling down in reverent awe at the great presence of God. It is our wisdom that tells us the difference. St. Thomas Aquinas taught that prophets receive their wisdom from grace. Elijah, for example, was chosen by God and given the grace to act as his prophet. He did not go to prophet school and graduate cum laude to be a prophet. God chose him and bestowed his grace upon him. This grace gave him wisdom to understand the power of God more than others, and it gave him the power to act on that wisdom. Each of us have been given the grace by our baptism to our understanding of what it means to be servants of God and to act on this. One of the greatest mistakes we make in our faith today is to define it strictly in morality and not in growing in wisdom, which feeds our morality. And so that importance is a big difference. This is endemic in our Bible, this truth. This is a great week to consider that. It's the week between the Transfiguration and the Assumption, to pray that we may grow in wisdom, that we may serve God best in this unique time. It's a time when the curse of worldly wisdom has overrun our institutions, including our church. We have a call to seek what is the best way to manifest divine wisdom. We can do that by acting in the ways of the Lord, which are creative but quiet, healing but not expensive, prophetic but not overpowering. Let us pray to receive the light of that wisdom in that still small wind that Elijah understood. As an epilogue, prior to all this happening, Elijah cursed Jezebel and her husband Ahab, who is a story for another time. Ahab repented. Jezebel never did. After Elijah was assumed into heaven in a great chariot, his successors engaged in a battle with Jezebel. Ahab was already dead from a battle wound previously. The queen ended up falling out a window and dying. Immediately, her enemies had a great party. Ding dong, the witch is dead. About a half an hour later, they went to collect her body to give her a royal burial. She may have been evil, but she was still the queen and did merit a royal burial. There was nothing to bury. Her body was consumed by the dogs, which is what Elijah said would happen to her when he cursed her. Elijah trusted in God's wisdom and strength. Elijah won.
You're listening to the voice of St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts, from WROL. Everything has you overwhelmed. You are more than worried, and you are inundated with fear. You keep asking yourself, what's going to happen tomorrow? Well, have you read the fifth chapter of Peter's first letter? Yes, the fifth chapter of Peter's first letter reminds us that all God's people go through difficult times, but God will get us through them.
cast your troubles on him because he cares for you.
We are called to humble ourselves before the mighty Lord, and he will raise us up in victory.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time.
He reminds us to be aware that our weaknesses can lead us into the devil's path. So be extra vigilant.
Resist him, standing firm in your faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings.
So the next time you feel overwhelmed, turn to the fifth chapter of Peter's first letter. In the New Testament, do you have any thoughts on what topics we should cover here? Do you have any issues you would like us to address here? How about questions you might have? Would you like to audition for a volunteer segment? Then write our program at producer@catholicaudiomedia.com. That's producer@catholicaudiomedia.com. Let us know what topics you would like us to discuss about your Catholic faith. We will consider them, and if they are fit for the show, we'll put them in. producer@catholicaudiomedia.com. We're back, and before that break, you heard the homily that I talked about this past weekend. So it was a powerful story, which I always like to bring out, and it's so important because people a lot of times think that all you have to do to be a Christian is to live Christian morality, and good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. But in reality, if you really look what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to live in the wisdom of Christ. And the wisdom, if you're living in the wisdom of Christ, you're automatically going to follow Christian morality. But you're also going to follow it more deeply because you're going to understand it to a deeper level. So it's not going to be a simple matter of you just say, well, this is what I'm supposed to do and this is what I'm not supposed to do. It is going to be, I want to seek to do what the Lord calls me to do and avoid what the Lord does not want me to do, because if I do what the Lord does not want me to do, I also find myself not only walking away from the Lord, but walking away from his wisdom, and I lose an understanding of what it means to live the faith. And that happens a lot. We're going to talk more about this pursuit of wisdom over the next few days. So see you tomorrow, 3 o'clock on WROL. Have you visited CatholicAudioMedia.com? There you can find material to help strengthen your faith and even support this radio program. Web videos on how to read the Bible, music from Father Adriano Zandana, links to column websites, and even the Pauline Bookstore. And even merchandise such as coffee mugs to bring a smile and encouragement during this time. CatholicAudioMedia.com. CatholicAudioMedia.com. CatholicAudioMedia.com.